Well, I'm so glad we are in the presence of the Lord. Let's look to Him as we always do to hear from His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for giving us the life and breath and all things. Without Your life, we will not be here today. And so, Father, we acknowledge that You are the giver of life. You are the God who gave us spirit, soul, and body to fulfill the purpose for which You created each one of us. And what great purpose that is, especially as we come to Your Word that reveals Your purpose for our lives here on earth. I pray, Holy Spirit, submitting myself to the authority of yourself, and that You will be working in me and through me to accomplish the purpose of Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for being our Lord and Savior. And we come to You today that You will speak through Your Word to us, into our hearts, and accomplish the great purpose for which You have gathered us here today, for the praise of Your precious and Your powerful name. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, over two decades ago, as editor of the Emporia Gazette, located in Emporia, Kansas, William White received many articles from aspiring writers, but he returned most of them to the authors with rejection slips. I wonder if you had a rejection slip before. One disappointed and bitter person wrote to White, "Sir, you sent back a story of mine. I know that you did not read it because as a test, I pasted together pages 19 and 20. The manuscript came back with those pages still stuck together. So I know that you are a fraud and that you turned down articles without even reading them." White sent a brief reply. "Dear madam, at breakfast, when I open an egg, I don't have to eat it all to determine if it's bad." Ouch. That was a tough response. Well, that's also true of detecting whether a religion is good or bad. Many people despair of knowing which religion is true, because there are so many different religions or beliefs in the world of ours. But you don't have to examine every belief of a religious group or sect to know if it is false or not. Why? If it denies the deity of or humanity of Jesus Christ, His virgin birth, His perfect life, His atoning death on the cross, His bodily resurrection from the dead, or His personal return to earth, it is a bad egg and should be rejected. It is not of God who has revealed Himself in the Bible. You see, what a religious group believes about Christ is all important. It's the real test of truth. The Christian poet Spurgeon vividly captures this thought in his brief and brilliant poem. He writes, "When someone comes along who says his message is from God, what he believes about the Lord, that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, will show if it is flawed." Well, this brings me to the main idea of the message God has given me from His Word today to deliver to you at this special and blessed hour in your life and my life. So please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit is ready and resolved to plant the seed of God's life-changing and lasting truth in order to change and conform genuine born-again Christians among us here today more into the blessed likeness of Jesus Christ, who is the anointed one and the ascended Lord of the church, and to call and convict unbelievers of their sin of unbelief, mercifully and miraculously leading them to genuine repentance and personal saving faith in Jesus Christ, who is the restorer and the ruler of the nations. So here is our message in a nutshell. Please, I humbly implore you to pay very close attention to it with an open heart and an open mind. Willing to do what? Willing to accept it, adhere to it, and adopt it as a way of life. Here is the message in one sentence. Christians, that is true followers of Christ, are living in a world dominated by the spirit of the Antichrist. They must therefore diligently and discerningly test the spirits to see whether they are of God. You see, error often wears the disguise of truth. That is why it is crucially important for you and for me, that is believers in Jesus Christ, to prove the spirits. Folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ and fellow believers in the fold and flock, fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to strongly and specifically remind us today that our world in which you and I are living is filled with voices claiming to speak for God. There are so many voices today claiming they are speaking for God, on God's behalf. As such, believers are called upon to give these voices the test to see if they are indeed really and actually speaking God's truth. Please let this be clear to us today. We are living in a big, bad world, and we need to be warned concerning the false teaching that is around us today. This is exactly what the Bible is going to forcefully and freshly present to us today in the beginning of chapter 4 of 1 John, in our series on 1 John. So please, if you have your Bibles today, quickly turn them to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. Will you please listen carefully as I recite the Word of God, the passage of our passage of study from the updated New American Standard Bible, which is the most literal translation of our Bible into the English language, our English language. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. What does it say? It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God." Why? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this, you know the spirit of truth. Or by this, you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. The one who knows God listens to us. The one who is not from God does not listen to us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. We have before us today a passage of scripture that can accurately be described as a passage of what? Vivid contrasts. In other words, it is a passage filled and full of extreme opposites. You are going to see opposites today. We have seen again and again in our study of 1 John that it is the characteristics of John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, to see things in terms of what? Black and white. You see, his thinking does not deal in shades or gray areas. He doesn't speak about gray areas like we do today. So what are the vivid contrasts or the extreme opposites in our passage of study? First of all, notice this passage is a passage of vivid contrast because it presents a vivid contrast, listen carefully now, between the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Antichrist. This passage is actually dealing with the spirit world, which none of us here knows too much about. I tell you, friends, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Antichrist have nothing, absolutely nothing in common. That is why the Bible will also later speak to us of the contrast between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. These are two what? Extreme opposites. They have nothing in common. Second, it is a passage of vivid contrast because it portrays a vivid contrast between he who is in you on the one hand and he who is in the world. Now the expression he who is in you refers to what? The indwelling Holy Spirit in the believer in Jesus Christ. While the expression he who is in the world refers to the devil. So the Holy Spirit and the devil have nothing in common except that they operate, both of them operate in the spiritual or the supernatural realm, which our naked eyes cannot see. Our natural eyes cannot see their operation. That is the only common thing they have in common. Well, third, it is a passage of vivid contrast because it points us to a vivid contrast between the spirit that confesses Jesus Christ as having come in the flesh and the spirit that does not confess Jesus coming in the flesh. The Bible tells us that the spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has indeed come in the flesh is from God. But a spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. It's that simple and straightforward. It's black and white. There are no gray areas in this matter. Fourth, it is a passage of vivid contrast because it places, listen carefully, people in two contrasting categories. Namely, those who are from God and those who are from the world. This passage tells us there are two categories of people in the world. We may have all kinds of classifications, but when the Bible boils it down, there are only two classifications or categories of people from God's perspective. Those who are from God and those who are from the world. Those who are from God are the genuine born-again children of God. Those who are from the world are the children of the devil, the unsaved. The Bible will show us that those who are from God listens to the apostolic declaration. But those who are from the world listen to the false prophets. What a vivid contrast. Commentator William Barclay writes on this vivid contrast. He says, and I quote, "On the one side, there is the man, or we can say the woman, whose source and origin is God, and who can hear the truth. On the other side, there is the man or the woman whose source and origin is the world, and who is incapable of hearing the truth," unquote. So these are the reasons why our passage of study today is a passage of what? vivid contrast, extreme opposites, black and white. You can't get it much better than that. Well, having just whetted your spiritual appetite, please allow me to give you a concise overview of how the Holy Spirit has prepared me today to present his message to you in this passage of vivid contrast from start to finish. First of all, we will examine the prohibition addressed to believers in verse 1a. How do we know that the prohibition is addressed to believers? What is the prohibition all about? Well, with the help of the Holy Spirit and the help of the Holy Scriptures, we will answer these questions in a moment. Second, we will explain the prescribed cause of action approved for believers in verse 1b. The Bible carefully, clearly, and concisely prescribes a course of action for believers to follow in this time where the spirit of Antichrist is ruling and dominating the world. What is the prescribed course of action all about? How diligently should believers be in following it? Are they to be casual about following the prescribed course of action approved for them? Or are they to be committed to following it? Well, with the aid of the Spirit of God and the Scriptures of God, we will address these questions in the course of our study today. Third, we will emphasize the purpose for the prohibition and prescription given to believers in verse 1c. God is a God of purpose. You all know that. He always has a purpose for everything he does in your life and my life. Even as I was telling you earlier, when I lost that key, I didn't know what was God's purpose. I was in the darkness for maybe 24 hours, not knowing why God allowed that to happen. But later on, even though I don't understand it fully, I saw his hand blessing me, restoring what has been stolen from me. So God has a purpose for everything he does. Led by the Holy Spirit, John discloses God's purpose for the prohibition and prescription given to the recipients of his letter. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. That is the purpose he's revealing to them to undergird the prohibition and the prescription he gave to them, making the world not a friendly but a fiercely hostile environment for the believer in Jesus Christ. For you and me who believe in Jesus Christ, we are not living in a friendly environment. We are living in a fiercely hostile environment because many false prophets, influenced by the spirit of the Antichrist, is now in the world, operating in the world. Who are the many false prophets? Who influences or inspires them in their false prophesying or teaching? Are there false prophets in our world today? Well, God willing, we will address these crucial questions in the course of our study today. Fourth, we will elaborate on what the Bible clearly sets forth regarding the proving of the Spirit in verses 2 and 3. Through the Holy Spirit, John gives a measuring stick to determine whether the propagator of the message is a demonic spirit or the divine spirit, that is the Holy Spirit of God. You see, friends, the reference to the Spirit in chapter 3, verse 24, which we looked at in our previous study, raises the question of how to distinguish between true believers and false teachers who claim that the Holy Spirit abides in them. As such, the Bible presents tests for truth and error. The Bible gives us actual tests by which true teachers of God and false teachers are to be proven. You are going to see that test in this passage we are studying today. What are these tests? What does the first thirst reveal about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Does this first thirst allow for compromise on what one believes about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, with the assistance of the Spirit and the Scriptures, we will answer these pertinent questions in the course of our study. And then fifth and finally, we will expound on what the Bible reveals about the privileges of believers in verses 4 to 6. Listen carefully. To be a believer in Jesus Christ is to be the most spiritually privileged person in the whole world. The believer may not be popular in the eyes of the world, but please make no mistake about this. He or she is privileged and precious in the sight of Almighty God. The Bible gives us at least three spiritual privileges which those who are from the world do not have, let alone enjoy. So what are these spiritual privileges? How are they displayed in your daily walk with Jesus Christ? Well, in due course, and the Lord willing, we will address these questions. So please keep listening attentively in order not to miss out on what the Holy Spirit will instruct us through these questions. So having given you a brief overview of our passage of study, let's now dig deeper into it to discover the precious, the promising, and practical spiritual lessons the Holy Spirit is eager and enthused to impress upon our hearts in order to do what? In order to do His special and supernatural work of making us, that is, believers in Jesus Christ, more like Jesus Christ, our Lord, our healer, our helper, and our hope of glory in this present life and in the life soon to come. So we begin, first of all, by examining the prohibition addressed to believers in verse 1a. Earlier in chapter 2, verse 18 to 27, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, John strongly warned believers against, listen carefully, the presence of antichrists among those who had gone out from them. Now, in chapter 4, led by the Spirit of God, he directs a second warning to true followers of Christ, this time against the spirit of the Antichrist, who even now inspires false prophets among the dissenters. So hence the prohibition addressed to believers. The Bible says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit." Now please notice the first word in this verse. It is the word beloved, agapetoi. But you say, what's the significance of that? What's the big deal about that? Well, please listen carefully now. Here's the significance of the word beloved, agapeto. First of all, beloved is a tender and affectionate term used by John to remind the recipients of his letter that the subject matter he's about to discuss is very, very important. You only talk to somebody if you want to tell somebody something special. You refer to that person in a special way. My dear, my friend. And John says, I have something special to tell you. And he says, beloved. Second, the use of beloved clearly and convincingly tells us that the prohibition is being directly addressed to believers. Listen again, please. Believers are beloved. Don't forget that. Believers are beloved. But you ask, what does it mean to be beloved? Well, agapetoi from agapetos also means dear. Very dear. That is why Some of you have verse 1 beginning with the words, "Dear friends." Paul used agapetoi to describe the Thessalonian Christians in this endearing phrase. He says, "You have become agapetoi. You have become very dear to us." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. It also means cherished ones. When the Bible calls you agapetoi, it means you are not only dear, you are not only beloved, it means you are cherished. I tell you, friends, believers are beloved by God. Christians are cherished by God. You, the believer in Jesus Christ, are very dear to the heart of God. Please, no matter what is going on in your life right now, remember this. This refreshing truth. You are beloved by God. You are cherished by God. And you are very dear to the heart of God. And I had to remember that when I was going through the trials of my life last week. That despite all that were happening in my life, I was cherished by God. I was beloved by God. And I was very I am very dear to the heart of God. Irregardless of the circumstances. And God wants you to know that in your heart of heart. Actually, the literal translation of "do not believe every spirit," that is the prohibition, gives more force to the prohibition. Literally, the prohibition reads, "Stop believing every spirit." Stop believing every spirit. Stop it now. In Greek grammar, the expression is called, this expression is called the imperative of prohibition. It is used to stop an action that is already in progress. You see, evidently, some of the believers to whom John was writing were being carried away by the false teaching of the false teachers. And John says, stop being deceived by these false teachers. Stop believing in their teaching. These false teachers or opponents of the gospel not only lay claim to God, but boast of their inspiration by the Spirit. Likely they gave evidence of their so-called inspiration through so-called prophetic utterances and perhaps even other signs. In other words, they were able to perform some signs that convinced other believers who perhaps were not grounded in the Word of God to believe that these false teachers are actually speaking for God. As such, John urgently warns the believers that other spirits exist who produce false prophets and false teachers to propagate or promote their false doctrine. In other words, the warning is not against those who feign or fake the Spirit's presence, but against genuine evil spirits inspiring the existence of false prophets. It's as if John is saying to the believers he was writing to, this is a very serious matter that should not be taken or treated very lightly. I'm writing to you today that there are other spirits abroad in the world today who are not of God. You, who are beloved of God, need to be cautioned against them. I'm therefore warning you not to trust every spirit, lest you be taken in by them. So please, let's listen carefully. Christians who are cherished by God are to have what? A healthy skepticism regarding any teaching, unlike some among John's congregations who were too open-minded to anyone claiming a new teaching regarding the faith. Some of them were so open-minded that when somebody came and said, "We are bringing a new teaching," they will not just carefully look through the message, but they will just embrace it, and then they will be deceived. Christians are to be like what? The Berean Christians, who are students of the word, carefully, painstakingly, and faithfully examined the scriptures to determine truth and error. Remember when Paul went to Berea? In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the Bible tells us of these Jews. "Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." Every day, not only on Bible study days, every day they were examining the scriptures to see what Paul was teaching, whether Paul was teaching the truth. And the Bible says in verse 12, "Therefore many of them believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men." So the question to ask today is, are you like the Berean Christians? Do you carefully search and examine the scriptures to find out whether what you are hearing from preachers and pastors and so-called prophets on the TV and radio and the internet is indeed the truth God wants you to hear, by which to be transformed? If not, one of these days you'll be taken in. There's an illustration I want to give us about this subject. In an unethical selling technique called bait and switch method, a retailer lures customers into his store by advertising a well-known product at a very, very low price. Maybe you have been been lured to the store at some stage in your life because there was a very well-known product being advertised at a very, very low price. You thought it was a big deal, a good deal for you. When a prospective buyer asks to purchase it, however, he is told that it is out of stock. Whoa. The salesperson then tries to sell him or her an inferior line of merchandise, hoping to do what? Hoping to pocket a bigger profit. You see, the brand name was used just to get the potential customer to step inside the store. In a similar way, a false teacher uses biblical words to capture interest and gain a hearing. He may talk about Christ, redemption, the cross, and the resurrection, but these trusted terms amount to nothing more than a con. The seller uses them to advertise truths that, as far as he is concerned, are out of stock. When an interested person responds, he is confronted by beliefs that are completely contrary to God's word. So please, never swallow someone's line just because he uses terms of the Christian faith. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you discern whether or not the speaker is really being true to the Bible. See, that's the most important thing. Is the speaker being true to the Bible? Then you won't get hooked by false teachers who use the doctrinal bait and switch method to deceive their hearers. That is, in a nutshell, what John is saying to the believers as he tells them, do not believe every spirit. Well, having examined the prohibition addressed to believers in verse 1a, the Bible now brings us to the point of explaining the prescribed course of action approved for believers in verse 1b. By the Holy Spirit's direction, John carefully confidently, clearly, and concisely prescribed a course of action for believers to follow in an age in which the spirit of Antichrist is widespread. Please listen, just because a man speaks about the Bible, God, and Jesus does not necessarily mean that he's a true and faithful messenger of God. Just last Saturday, I had a lunch with my mentor, who is 91. He's a fellow minister of the gospel, but he invited me to come after my weekend of trouble. And I sat down with him, and he invited another man who came with us, joined us. And this man was speaking about Jesus. And as I listened to him, I was wondering, where does this man stand? Because he says Jesus and Buddha says the same thing. There, my ears went up. How can you compare Jesus and Buddha? And he claims he has studied so many religions, the Bible, even the Quran. And I was concerned because this man was speaking about Jesus, but he was putting him at the level of Buddha. That is not the spirit, a true messenger of God. Well, we are to test the spirits. This is the prescribed course of action approved for genuine born-again believers in Jesus Christ. Will you please listen carefully to what the Bible says about that in verse 1b? It says what? But, after it says, do not believe every spirit. It says, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Literally, this reads, but prove the spirits if of God they are. The Greek word translated test, or literally prove, is dokimazo. Dokimazo. It also means to discern, to demonstrate, examine, approve, or put to the test. This verb is used of testing metals. In other words, it is a metallurgist term used for assaying metals to determine their purity and value. And those of you who have gold rings and stuff, well, those gold rings were tested to see their purity and their value. This word means to put to the test for the purpose of approving. The word generally implies testing with the hope that the thing tested will pass. While paraizo is another Greek word, which is often translated try or tempt, generally means to try with the purpose that the thing tried will be found wanting. So the course of action prescribed for believers is all about what? Putting to the test the spirits, as a metallurgist would do to determine their purity, their genuineness, and their truthfulness. It means born-again believers must test any teaching with a view to approving or disapproving it. It means rigorously comparing any teaching to the scripture. It means carefully and prayerfully checking to see if the words you are hearing from those who are claiming to be messengers of God clearly and consistently match what Almighty God says in the Bible. This is very important. The Bible is teaching us here that the unseen spiritual influences that guide people's speech and actions can be tested or proven by observing their doctrine and conduct, as well as by the gift of spiritual discernment. Sometimes if you have spiritual discernment, as somebody is speaking, you can realize that this person is not speaking on God's behalf. He has a different spirit by which he is speaking. Actually, the Greek verb, dokimazo, is a present imperative, What is the significance of that? Well, this means that the full force of its meaning is best rendered in the words, keep on testing the spirits to see whether they are from God. Keep on proving the spirits to see whether they are of God. This means that believers should be what? Diligent in following the prescribed course of action. They should not be casual about this, about testing the spirits, proving the spirits to see if they are really from God or not. Rather, they must be committed to following it. It is something they must continually do in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, it is important to ask the question, what does the phrase from God mean? It says, test the spirits to see whether they are from God. So what is the Bible saying by that phrase? Well, in the original from God is ek tu theo. Quite certainly, it means that the person, the spirit, or the quality has its origin in God. It comes from God in the sense that it takes its origin in Him and its life from Him. So John, for instance, bids believers to test the spirits to see whether they really have their source in God. So that's what he's saying. Test the spirits to see, or the teaching, or the prophecy that you are hearing, to see if its source is in God. Test it. Don't just take it in. Test it first. He says, test the spirits. The concern, the test actually concerns the origin, whether they are of God. Do they take their origin in God? Do they take their life from God? The believer is called to this work of testing. He or she shouldn't believe everything he or she hears just because someone says it is a message inspired by God. Of course, without the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, we will not be able to test the spirits to see whether they take their origin in God or have their source in God. When was the last time you tested a teaching you heard? The Bible says we should keep doing that. Every time we hear a message, we should keep asking, is this coming from God or is it coming from somewhere else? Well, having examined the prohibition addressed to believers in verse 1a, having also explained to us the prescribed course of action approved for believers in verse 1b, the Bible now brings us to the point of emphasizing the purpose for the prohibition on the prohibition and prescription given to believers in verse 1c. The Bible now reveals to us the purpose for not believing every spirit. Why did God say, don't believe every spirit? Why did God say, test the spirits to see whether they are from God? Well, the Bible now gives us the purpose for those, the prohibition as well as the prescription. You see, the one true God of the universe, the God of the Bible, who is fully and finally revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, always has a purpose for everything he does. Often he reveals his purpose in the Bible for us to help us see why he's commanding us not to do something or to do something. There are times his purpose is completely hidden from us. In those times, we are to trust him and to take him at his word that he knows best and still has our best interest at heart. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 29:29, it says that secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that are revealed belongs to you and to me and to our children to do them forever. Well, fortunately for us, there is no secret thing here. There is no secret hidden in our passage of study. God's purpose is not hidden from us. It is clearly and convincingly revealed to us in this passage. The reason is simply that many false prophets are in the world. Notice what the Bible says at the end of verse 1. It says, because many false prophets have gone out into what? The world. Now the question is, who are the many false prophets the Bible is speaking of here? Well, the expression false prophets is only one word in the original language. It is pseudo-prophetai. Pseudo-prophetai. Pseudo, you know, means what? Counterfeit, false, sham, spurious. Please listen. False prophets are false teachers and so-called wonder workers whose works are counterfeit works. They are people who profess to accept Christianity, but they teach another gospel altogether. They are human teachers who propagate false doctrine and error. False prophets are the ones who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them, because living involves fellowship, which is possible between God and His children only by the Holy Spirit. Please listen, false prophets are people who claim to speak for God, but are actually speaking by demonic influences. These human false prophets and teachers are the physical expressions of demonic spiritual sources. So this means that the prophesying and the teaching of these false prophets and false teachers are actually the works or the work of demons inspired by the devil, their master. In other words, evil spirits were influencing the false teachers to mislead and deceive the undiscerning and the naive. I tell you, friends, in the days of John the Apostle, whom Jesus loved, these false teachers were so zealous in the proclamation of their false doctrine, and may have even been more successful than the faithful community in making converts from the world. Likely John saw in them the fulfillment of Jesus' warning against false prophets in Mark chapter 13, verse 22. The Bible says there in Mark chapter 13, I'll read from verse 21. Jesus is speaking. He says, "And then if anyone says to you, 'Behold, he is here,' 'Behold, here is the Christ,' or 'Behold, he is there,' do not believe him." Remember the words the Bible says in 1 John, do not believe every spirit. Here Jesus said, do not believe him. Do not believe him. And then he goes on, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show signs and wonders," that is counterfeit signs and wonders, "in order to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But take heed. Behold, I have told you everything in advance." How wonderful, Jesus our Lord. Well, now someone says, are there false prophets in our world today? You know, and I know, that there are many false teachers in our world today, of whom we need to be what? To beware. They are popular on TV. They are very charismatic. They have large followings. They are not like me. They have large followings. They have the best gadgets to propagate their message. In today's age of tolerance, discriminating discernment can be viewed as being judgmental. Yet the Lord Jesus also taught, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. That is what God says for us to do. Test the spirit. Judge with right judgment. It's not discriminating, but you are judging with right judgment to see whether the spirits are truly from God. Commenting on this verse, Dr. McGee shares this witty and wise insight. He writes, "Right now, prophecy, quote, Right now, prophecy is becoming an interesting subject, and rightly so. But again, the thing which needs to be said was said very well by Sir Robert Anderson. He writes, "Beware of the wild utterances of prophecy mongers." Then Dr. McGee continues, "There are many today who are saying more than the scriptures say, so that we need to be very careful. Just because a man comes along saying, 'Lord, Lord,' does not mean that we should love him. That may be the man who is more dangerous than a rattlesnake, because he may be teaching a false doctrine. He may not really be teaching the word of God, although he carries a big Bible under his arm." Unquote. So friends and fellow believers, the need for some test to discern the presence of false prophets is all the more critical in our day, just as it was in the days of John. So what are we to take away from the message we have heard so far? Well, if you are already a true follower of Christ, born again by the Spirit of God, here is what the Holy Spirit wants you to take away from this message, his message to you. First of all, by the working of the Holy Spirit in your heart, be convinced today of this truth. You are cherished by God. You are beloved by God. And you are very dear to the heart of God. Let the conviction of this truth sink deep down into your heart of heart. Second, through the power of the Spirit, be committed to checking the messages you hear to see if they consistently match what God says in the Bible. In other words, rigorously test any teaching you hear on the TV, radio, internet, in Bible studies, with a view to what? Approving it or disproving it. Be like the Berean Christian, examining the scriptures daily to see if you are hearing the truth. And then third, be careful. Yes, be very, very careful. Why? Because there are many false prophets in our world today. Their prophesying and teaching are influenced by evil spirits. Our world is filled with voices claiming to speak for God, but they are not from God, and they are not speaking for God. Therefore, be careful what you hear. Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, may I honestly and humbly say to you today that you have no defense against the evil spirits that influence false prophets and false teachers to mislead and deceive people. They will prey on you again and again. They will pull the wool over your eyes again and again. They will put you on the wrong path in life. They will pillage you spiritually to your perdition, not paradise. But all that can change for you today, how? Simply turn to Jesus today, just as you are. Why? Jesus alone has conquered the evil spirits and the devil, their master, through his death on the cross and his shed blood on that cross. Tell Jesus today that you are a sinner who has been preyed upon again and again by false teachers, and that you cannot save yourself from their damaging and destructive influences, let alone save yourself from your sins. And finally, trust Jesus today with simple and sincere childlike faith that he died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried to put away your sins, and that he rose again from the dead on that third day to bring you into a right standing with God. And the Bible says what? You will be saved. You will be made a new creature. And you will have eternity ready for you with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we commit this message to you today. Lord, thank you for reminding us that we live in a world dominated by the spirit of the Antichrist. who is out to deceive, who is out to delude, who is out to destroy, just like their master, the devil, does. And I pray, Father, for each one of us today, that your Holy Spirit will shield us. Your Holy Spirit will help us to be people who search your word, so that we will know the truth and allow the truth to sink deep into our hearts, to transform us, and to make us people who are ready for the defense of the gospel in this age in which we live, where the spirit of Antichrist is leading many astray and taking them on the wrong path. Help us to be your messengers who will speak your word in the power and the authority of your Holy Spirit. And our Lord, I pronounce your blessing upon your people. Blessed be the God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And all God's people said, Amen.